Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast, IDP edition. I'm your host, John Macri, Fantasy Analyst here at PFF. And with free agency kicking off an absolute flurry of movement across the NFL, there are a lot of new homes for some top defensive players to consider for fantasy football. We got some lovely Southern charm for this episode, talking about our favorite IDP landing spots so far, because more just keep rolling in. I'm excited to talk about them, so let's get it. All right, it's been NFL gone wild during this year's free agency period, and the IDPs have not been left out of the madness as there are tons of new signings to comb over, but today we're going to focus on our favorites. And speaking of favorites, we got a couple of my personal favorites, I'm sure yours as well, here joining me from the IDP show, the legendary Josh Raymer and the tremendous presence, Adam Markham. Boys, how the hell are you?
John, it's a pleasure to be here, my friend. If I could, I would give you a five-year, $150 million extension. It is so good to be back with you. And Addy, good to have you here as well, baby.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I'd give you about 5 years, $200 million. And it's fully guaranteed, that's baby.
Right. It's the Kirk Cousins deal.
I'd be very happy with like 5% of that. So you guys are very generous. I appreciate it. If I made that much, I would share it with you. That's how much I love you. So thank you guys for coming on the show here today. I really do appreciate it. I know you guys have been talking free agency this week. Everybody's talking free agency this week, and we got to give the love to the IDPs because, I mean, there's so many signings at this point. Like, they keep coming in. We got two more tonight with, what's his face there? Tyrell Dodson coming in, and we had another one, too.
Devin White.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Devin Beige is out there as well now going to Philadelphia. So they just keep coming in. There's so much to talk about. But tonight, we're going to be focusing on our favorite IDP landing spots. And I'm sure there were actually plenty to choose from. I don't know how you guys felt, but I didn't have a hard time finding the ones that I loved.
I mean, I think we talked about 38 players in depth on our breakdown earlier. Yeah. I had to do the timestamps for our episode, and I was like, how many is this? And it was pushing 40. So it's been a lot, and there's not a lot that I don't like, Addy.
No, right. We loved pretty much all of them. Now, some of the ones that have trickled out here in the last couple of days, it's made things a little muddy. You know, right. Cincinnati apparently has a safety fetish all of a sudden.
Some weird kinks going on in Cincy. Yep.
You know, Bobby Wagner signing with Washington. What does that do to Louisville? I don't think much. I think both those guys are going to be just fine. But those are the questions that are, you know, being raised with some of these recent signings. But yeah, for the most part, Will's up, baby.
That's right. We're feeling good. It has been, like we talked about on our show, John. Yeah, some of these offensive guys are getting some good guap. But where are you seeing the six-figure deals? You're seeing it on the defensive side of the ball. So pity the fools that aren't playing IDP because they are missing out on some real fun this week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This has been, it's been super busy because I've been doing the offense and the IDP side, but it's so fun to look at the defensive players as well, right? Like, it's one thing to just, you know, get excited about offense. There was basically no real wide receiver excitement to talk about, right? But there was, I mean, every position for IDP had something. And yeah, linebacker, there's a lot of new edges in new homes as well. So I'm pretty excited. I love talking this stuff and love seeing free agency unfold and where these guys land and stuff. And just it's a good time to be optimistic, I guess, right? Like, that's what the offseason's for, is to get a little bit optimistic, get excited about certain players. There's obviously some guys that we're not gonna love we're not gonna love everybody, but I don't know. I always feel a little bit more optimistic in the offseason.
Yeah, teams are getting better. And I think that's, it's to certain degrees, and we can quibble with the money, but teams are addressing needs, and that'll happen again with the draft. So I think this is like the start of optimism season, and optimism's fun. It's a nice drug for, you know, coming out of the sleepy haze of the post Super Bowl kind of hangover.
Yeah. And it's also nice, like, you know, having an idea of what these teams are going to look like. For the most part, we have a pretty good idea of who's going to be the LB1 and LB2 for their teams going into the season. You know, I mean, the draft will add a couple of these guys into the mix, but for the most part, I don't think a lot of these rookies are really ready to contribute year one. So I feel like we're going to have a pretty good idea of what these teams look like, at least on the defensive side, here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It looks like things are kind of already starting to set. And yeah, for the rookies coming in, a lot of them are usually depth guys, and they're guys that we like and could be excited about the future and things like that, but not all of them are going to contribute year one, where a lot of these veterans are more likely to see the playing field. So that's why it gets a little bit more exciting here in free agency, when we see these landing spots. And yeah, we got, I think, what, 9 names to talk about today. I think we each picked 3 players each that we really like. So we'll get into the ones that we loved here specifically and talk about them. But before we do that, I do want to give a quick shout out to the PFF Mock Draft Simulator. You can check it out now on pff.com. If you use the promo code 30MDS, you get 30% off an annual PFF subscription. The Mock Draft Simulator, you could go in there, you could draft for your favorite team, you can draft for the entire league if you want, you can draft only IDPs, which is a fun thing that I like to do as well on occasion when I'm bored. It's just a great way to kill time, so go check it out on pff.com. Again, it's promo code 30MDS to get 30% off annual subscriptions, and that'll include all of our NFL draft content, free agency content here, and then all throughout the season as well. So go check out the best mock draft simulator in the league here at PFF. 30MDS is the promo code. All right, guys, let's start it off with our first favorite here. And Josh, I'll start with you. We had some linebackers sign. Who, I know you've got a couple linebackers here, but who was your favorite linebacker signing from this free agency period?
Yeah, probably my favorite one from the whole free agency class. It was Azeez Al-Shaair going to Houston on a 3-year, $34 million deal. When we look at potential free agent landing spots, John, I often look at interdivision, because teams have are more familiar with players that they play more often throughout the season, and also coaching connections. The NFL is a relationship business after all. And so connecting the dots with D'Amico Ryans in Houston, you know, you've got Denzel Perryman on the way out. It's just Christian Harris and Henry To'o there. And so looking at a player in Azeez Al-Shaair, who played with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco, coming off a great season in Tennessee in which he averaged 13.2 points per game by Big Three scoring, 163 tackles, 9 TFLs, 2 sacks. He had a fantastic season. This is what we thought was possible when Al-Shaair got out of the shadow of 2 fantastic linebackers in Fred Warner and Trey Greenlaw, signed a 1-year prove-it deal, and he proved it. And so seeing him getting to reunite with D'Amico Ryans in Houston, I believe he will be with Christian Harris, the 2 full-time linebackers. I said on our show, I think D'Amico Ryans may finally have his version of Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw in Houston with Harris and Al-Shaair. So it remains to be seen how the snap share breaks out, because Christian Harris finished the season on fire. Him and JOK were two of the hottest linebackers that people may not have known about if they checked out near the end of the season. But Alshaier landing there alongside Christian Harris. We're going to talk about another one of my favorites here in just a bit. They added along the defensive line. I think they are building a monster defensive unit in Houston, and I think Alshaier is going to be the heartbeat of that unit come 2024.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, like you said, reuniting with D'Amico Ryans, it's just a good thing. We saw that development in year two for Christian Harris, because let's be honest, his rookie year was not good. He was one of like the lowest graded linebackers in the league, right? But really nice progression in year two under D'Amico Ryans. And I mean, Alshaier, again, like, wasn't really a starter in San Francisco, unless you consider base packages, right? But it's hard to be a starter when Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw are the two guys ahead of you. And he did get his opportunities when those guys were hurt. He played well. He got to start his first true like LB1 job last year. And again, just performed well. So I'm with you 100%. When I look at like the new kind of signings in new places, and maybe Bobby Wagner's close to this as well now, but he's got a little bit more competition there. I think Alshaier is going to have probably the best shot at finishing as a top 12 linebacker for IDP in 2024 among those guys that have landed on new teams right now. So I'm with you. I love the spot. Absolutely. A great opportunity for him. The depth chart doesn't scare you at all. Like, yeah, Christian Harris is there, but you're not worried about Henry To'o stepping in. He was benched a few times last year, but still young in his career. I love it.
Yeah. Adam, where did you have Alshaier in the best ball ranks after he landed with Houston?
I bumped him up to LB 14.
14. There we go. Yeah. I think going as LB 22 right now by our ADP, I think there's four best ball drafts in that ADP right now. So that will be ticking up. Where do you think he settles in ADP?
Probably around that, man.
I think so too.
People love Alshaier. I mean, he's someone that people were hyped about last year. People are definitely going to be hyped about him now. I mean, I could see him getting up to, you know, LB6, mm-hmm. like as high as that, you know?
Because after the top, you know, cluster of guys.
Yeah, it's like Roquan, Foye.
I think Zaire will be up there.
Zaire's going to be up there. Ernest Jones.
I think
Fred Warner.
I think Nick Bolton's still going to be up there.
See, I would probably prefer Alshaier over.
I think so too.
Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
So I'm not in on Nick Bolton this year. I think I have Nick Bolton as like LB20.
Ooh, that's a hot take already. Yeah. There you go. But yeah, I mean, we have to kind of look ahead because it's not just going to be a copy and paste of last season. And Alshaier seems like one of the screaming candidates to be a big time riser from where he finished last season.
Yeah, he was awesome. 9.6 tackles per game last season. That was sixth most among linebackers. He did play a ton of snaps. He played the fifth most snaps among linebackers, mm-hmm. but still, you love to see him break out when he has his first real opportunity at a starting gig. And then, yeah, it led to a huge payday. So I feel really good about him in Dynasty now, too.
Yeah, finished 2023 as LB20. I think he finishes even higher than that for 2024 if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, it's really nice. And like you said, I love it for the Dynasty value as well. Got to kind of prove himself as a starter last year. And then obviously D'Amico Ryans and company felt comfortable enough to give him a longer term contract here, 3 years. So I'm with you. It's a great spot. I think it's stock up for Azeez Alshaier. Really interesting numbers from him last year too. Like, he had the biggest discrepancy in tackles above expected against the run versus against the pass. Like, he was one of the top in the league defending the run, but then was one of the bottom in the league against the pass as far as tackles go. I don't know what that is. I don't know how stable that is. I haven't looked into it too much, but just found that really interesting and potentially something to kind of keep an eye on this season if it continues. But I love him. I think there's a great opportunity there. I have no concerns about his production being in that top 12 range here for IDP. The next name on the list, Adam, you got a linebacker as well. Another one that goes to a new home as well. Who do you have as your favorite pick?
Yeah, he's replacing Josh's.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pick. Another, Alshaier.
Yeah. He's another AFC South squad as well.
Yeah. We're going with Kenneth Murray. This is a tough sell. Kenneth Murray, he's not a very good linebacker.
He's got a little stink on him just because he may not be good.
May not be good. He's never graded better than a 54.4 overall, according to PFF. Last season, he was a 52.9. So it's been like that his entire career. It's the grades have been bad, not good. But this is all about opportunity, right? We just got done talking about what Al Shaher did last year, putting up 163 tackles, two sacks, had a, I think, seven TFLs. But anyway, he was, you know, really, really good there in Tennessee. Kenneth Murray is going to have a wide open depth chart. There's who's around him right now.
It's, I mean, literally Jack Gibbons, and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing to be concerned about there. They gave him a nice little deal, too. You know, 2 years, $15 million contract. I think it's got incentives that make it up to 18, potentially. And he did have his best year, especially from a fantasy standpoint, racking up 107 tackles, 7 TFLs, 3 sacks in 15 games. That was good for 12.8 points per game in Big 3 scoring. There is a new DC in Tennessee this year, Denard Wilson. He was the Baltimore defensive back coach in 2023. And it sounds like he wants to have an attacking scheme that does a lot of blitzing. So feels like a pretty good fit for Murray, who is also still just 25 years of age. So this isn't really moving the needle much for me in Dynasty, but as far as redraft goes, man, I think Kenneth Murray could ball out next year. You sell him when he does. And then, yeah, don't have any regrets. Just cash out. Be thankful that you had this opportunity.
Enjoy the ride and then get the hell out of there.
Yeah. I mean, I was really surprised at the contract. I mean,
yeah.
Especially when you see, like, Willie Gay gets 1 year, $5 million. Mm-hmm, you know, right. I figured that would be more in line with what we saw Kenneth Murray get. And it would make me feel a lot worse about his situation. But, man, I feel pretty good next year.
Yeah, see, I'm not as optimistic as Adam is, just because, like he said, Kenneth Murray's not a good player. So there is the worry, like I expressed on our show earlier this week, that the rug could be pulled out from under him. But Tennessee has so many other needs. And here's what appeals to me the most, John. Kenneth Murray finished as LB34 last year, currently going as LB57. Now, he'll tick up. Yep. But even if he jumps 20 spots, you're talking about outside the top 36. The value is delicious because the opportunity is going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. He'll be in that range. He'll be going around like linebacker 25 to 35.
Because like you said, there's a stink on Kenneth Murray,
yes.
And that's where you can get the value.
Yep.
Is that hold your nose and start him. Here is Exhibit A for 2024.
That's where all the money linebackers were last season, you know?
Right.
That's where Caden Ellis was, Quincy Williams. All those guys were in that same range. So
sexy, but startable.
Exactly.
Yeah. And look, everybody that has been playing IDP for a long time knows to go after those guys, right? Like, we know we don't have to spend up on the linebackers early in drafts, right? Like, we're just a targeting opportunity. And I'm with you 100%, Adam. Like, Kenneth Murray, to me, he's got to be one of the biggest winners of free agency here so far. And I wrote up the winners and losers article for IDP, I think, coming out tomorrow. And Kenneth Murray absolutely made the list. I mean, again, like, hasn't been, you know, the most effective IDP necessarily when he's been on the field. He hasn't really lived up to first round draft capital. But if we're looking for just opportunity in 2024, there's not really a better situation for him to land in here than in Tennessee here. So I'm pretty, optimistic about him just getting one of those, you know, greasy, just warm body guys later in drafts. Kenneth Murray absolutely fits that bill. I, like you said, LB 50 something in ADP right now, there's going to be value in guys like this, right? People that, you know, have just cooled on him, knowing that he hasn't been very effective. You look at his tackles versus expected numbers, minus 26 even last year, right? Even though he hit 100 tackles, like, he had more playing time to potentially deliver bigger numbers. So a new scheme for him as well, a new defense, new opportunity. I'm with you. I love the spot, and the opportunity is great here. All right, next name on the list. I also had a linebacker here, so we're knocking off some linebackers here right at the top, but hard not to love Josie Jewell going to the Carolina Panthers. Frankie Louvu departs in free agency. We briefly talked about him. He went to Washington, but with him gone, like that vacated a pretty significant amount of snaps at the linebacker position in Carolina. And look, Shaq Thompson, he'll be back in 2024. He missed pretty much the entire season last year due to injury. But there's still going to be opportunity for Jewel to play significant snaps. You look at who they were rolling out there in 2023. They only really had the one full-time linebacker, but that's because the other linebackers that they had just didn't inspire much confidence at all. It resulted in a pretty heavy rotation at that second spot. It was like Cam McGruder-Hill and the ghost of Deion Jones and Chandler Wooten for a minute as well. But you look at the defensive coordinator there as well, Ejiro Evero. He has familiarity and seemingly trust in Jewel from their time in Denver as well, which should, I think, allow for more consistent and reliable usage for IDP, even if he is that LB2 next to Shaq Thompson. Jewel, last time he played in 2022 under Evero, he averaged 95% of the defensive snaps when he was active, and he delivered his most productive fantasy season for his career as well. He had 11.2 tackles over expected in 2022. That was in the 90th percentile for his position. And then he was better in terms of PFF grades in Evero's system as well. So I feel pretty good about him. He was better just all around in Denver that final year, better tackle efficiency. He was quicker to the ball. It felt like it was just a better fit for him in that defense in 2022 than it was last year when Evero wasn't there. So not really a guy that I would picture as scheme proof. So, you know, like his running mate from Denver, Kingleton there. So this is kind of a nice spot for him, right? And I think a nice bounce back spot for him in 2024 as well, because 2023 was fine, but it wasn't nearly as good as what he was in 2022.
Yeah, you mentioned 2022, prolific in the points per game department.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was, 2022 was Evero's last year as DC for the Broncos. Yep. Josie Jewel was LB4 in points per game, and he averaged 9.8 tackles per game. That's a 17-game pace of 167 tackles. So
let's go.
Yeah. Feel very good about Josie Jewel. Love me some Outlaw. This was a dream landing spot. I already took him in the seventh round of one of these IDP only best balls. So I'm very much in. I think I've already got him inside the top 20 linebackers. So feel very good.
Going as LB47 right now. That'll go up.
But I still
think he's one of those guys that people just aren't as excited about because he's a little bit of a letdown last year.
Yeah.
And that's like the perfect formula for me, reuniting with a coach that he played well under, that he's familiar with, has a little bit of stink on him because, you know, he's not a good player or he didn't play well the previous season.
Banged up a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Injury concerns. So there's a little bit of, you know, avoidance from the fantasy community. That's the perfect recipe for those value linebackers that you can just gobble up later in drafts.
Right. And this does feel like a team that's going to play a lot of snaps defense, right?
Because,
I mean, I feel like that's a bad defense. Offenses should be able to sustain drives against them. And then, like, on the other side, like, is the offense going to be able to sustain drives too, you know?
Yeah.
They struggled a lot last year. And they have added some nice pieces. And I think they'll improve through the draft. And you hope that, you know, Bryce Young's second year is much better. But still, that's a bad team. That's a team that's a long way away. And Josie Jewel is going to rack up a ton of tackles.
Yeah, no, I love it. And like I said, with Evero there, I think it's a really nice fit. But like you also mentioned, this team could be very, very bad in 2024 still, right? Like even if they do improve a little bit, if they're bad enough, like, and they fire Evero or they fire the coaching staff again and, you know, move on from the defensive coordinator, I don't know what that means necessarily for Jewel in like 2025, or, you know, dynasty wise. So he doesn't move up like too much for dynasty purposes for me. Definitely gets some bump, but I'm loving him a lot more for just this season specifically. So
I thought it was interesting this offseason that, of course, they bring in Dave Canales as the new head coach there in Carolina. And I thought it was interesting that even given the opportunity to hire his own DC, I think it was actually David Tepper who came out and said that, oh, no, Ejiro Evero is a big part of our plans moving forward. So that gives me some hope that maybe he is safe for the 2024 season, even if this team is a raging dumpster fire once again. Because if we can, again, just like Kenneth Murray, if we can get through a season of Jewel staying healthy, playing the entire year for Evero, cash out feel great and move on. Do the same thing, re-roll next year with another free agent linebacker who lands in a good spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Always sell your linebackers when there's an opening. That's the way I like to do it as well. And there's always going to be plenty more that pop up and ones that we can find on the waiver wire in season as well. So we got a few other names here to talk about, but quickly, I just want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Fabric by Gerber Life. If you have a family, then you need to get term life insurance to protect them. It's one of the smartest financial decisions you can make, and the start of the new year is the perfect time to get it done so you can focus on whatever else the year has in store for you. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/fantasy. That's meetfabric.com/fantasy. meetfabric.com/fantasy. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, let's go on to another one of your favorites here, Adam. Going to your Minnesota Vikings, who did you have as your next pick?
Mr. Andrew Van Ginkle.
Long hair, don't care.
You know I got to talk about a long-haired boy on this one, baby.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Andrew Van Ginkle. What a landing spot here for him. He reunites with his former head coach, Brian Flores. Flores was the head coach of the Dolphins when Van Ginkle was selected in the fifth round of the 2019 draft. Van Ginkle broke out in year five with 69 tackles, 53 pressures, 6 sacks, 8 TFLs, and 8 PDs. In leagues with Big 3 scoring, his 13 points per game ranked 19th among all edge rushers. I think Van Ginkle has a reputation of being a little more versatile than he actually is, because when looking at his career alignment, 89% of his snaps came on the defensive line versus just 8% in the box and 3% in the slot. So I think you can expect Van Ginkle to be a pass rusher there in Minnesota and get a lot of snaps. If you look at what happened last year with DJ Wonnum, Wonnum played a ton, like over 85% of the team's defensive snaps.
More than anyone wanted him to play, including the Wonnum family.
Right. Way more than they wanted to. I think you can expect Van Ginkle to do something very similar to that. Van Ginkle's pressure rate and pass rush win rate were both top 10 among edge rushers last year. His 90.6 pass rush grade ranked 7th among edge rushers, and his 76.3 run defense grade ranked 22nd. So very good against the run. Van Ginkle has a 9.8% tackle rate for his career. He has a 12.6% pressure rate for his career. So last year was not a fluke. I expect Van Ginkle to stuff the shit out of some box scores in 2024. Good player, you know, high motor. He's going to do really, really well there in Minnesota, I think. And I don't know if people are aware of how many snaps this guy is going to play, but it's going to be a lot.
DL-17 last year going as DL-51.
Yeah,
and he's going to be walking into like more snaps than he can possibly handle. The volume, John, I think is going to be off the charts, because I believe every other edge rusher that was there in Minnesota last year is gone of note.
Yeah.
And so it's literally just going to be Jonathan Grenard, who came over on the big deal, and Andrew Van Ginkle. And if you're looking at value, I mean, give me Van Ginkle later in drafts. I think that's a nice little cheat code.
That's an amazing value right now. And like you said, the Vikings had, I think it was either the second or third most or highest percentage of snaps vacated at the edge position just via free agency, right? Danielle Hunter, DJ Wonnum, Josh, your favorite, Marcus Davenport, all those guys left, right? So it really meant just like any competent edge rusher who landed in Minnesota was going to see a value boost for IDP, right? And then you get guys like Van Ginkle and Grenard. They're not only competent, but they're both coming off like really strong seasons, which happened to be the most productive of their NFL careers. So I'm with you. I mean, both players, Grenard, Van Ginkle, they should see plenty of volume in Brian Flores' defense. That's going to allow them to be productive alone. But then Van Ginkle specifically, like Adam mentioned, like really strong pass rush metrics, performed really well last year, just filling in for the injured Jalen Phillips, unfortunately, but just did really well in that spot and put up all kinds of numbers. You know, he only had the six sacks, but plus 18.4 tackles over expected. Like, he just continued to put up tackles, which was crazy. And I think there's definitely room for some positive regression for him in the sack column as well, just given the amount of snaps that he's going to play. And if he comes even close to what his pass rush metrics were. So hard not to love this one for sure.
Yeah, especially the value. The value is delicious.
Yeah, it feels like we're going to see career best across the board.
Agreed.
Yep. I would not be surprised at all. All right, let's talk about another guy that gets a starting opportunity on a new team. And this was one of my favorites here. It was Dorrance Armstrong going to the Washington Commanders, formerly of Dallas. He goes to an NFC East rival now, but kind of like the exodus of edge rushers in Minnesota, the Commanders also left with like a gaping holes at the edge position, right? They traded away Chase Young and Montez Sweat in season. Then they have guys like James Smith Williams and Casey Tuhill, who were the next men up on the depth chart. They also depart in free agency. So Armstrong kind of continues a trend of these defensive players reuniting with past coaches. He joins Dan Quinn in Washington. And Armstrong spent the last six seasons now with Dallas, and he was kind of more of a rotational option, I guess, in that defense, never really exceeded 56% of the defensive snaps in a season. But with Washington's current edge group, I don't think he'd have any problem exceeding that threshold in 2024. He's been really productive despite like a lower snap share over the past 2 years. He's totaled 78 pressures and 16 sacks since 2022. Also set a new career high in pass rush grade and overall grade this past year. And I just think he's going to get a lot of opportunities to kind of develop and then contribute on that defense, improving his IDP value along the way as well. So I don't know what his ADP is at the moment, but I'd imagine he's going to be one of the lower guys coming into this free agency period. But another guy that I would imagine his stock is on the rise here. So really liked Dorrance Armstrong going to Washington.
I can tell you, John, it is DL 112.
Ooh.
So, could not be. I mean, I just
took him in the 10th round, though.
Yeah, like he'll be going up. Like, yeah, this, we were kind of waiting just to see where he was going to land. But
yeah,
I mean, really good money for Dorrance Armstrong. And let's check the boxes. Familiar with the coach, wide open depth chart, right? And mm-hmm. a guy escaping the shadow of more prolific players at his position in Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. So I love this as well. Who else is there? This is good money. He knows the coach. I mean, it just checks all the boxes, and you're getting this guy still. If he moves up 60 spots by ADP, you're still looking at a DL 50 for a guy that could finish top 36, top 24 potentially. I love it. I think it's just if it wasn't Van Ginkle for me, it was Dorrance Armstrong. As far as, like, you know, we'll talk about a guy here that I also love the landing spot and could be prolific. But the name of the game, John, I think this week is, where can you find value in IDP based on some of these signings? And the last two guys we've talked about, I think, just represent tremendous value.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are definitely, I think, going to be values. They'll steadily kind of increase throughout the offseason, but I can't imagine them getting too high. And just, again, we love opportunity for fantasy. We love it for IDP as well. And then you add, you know, some of these strong pass rush metrics and underlying numbers for these guys, and they become a lot more interesting as well. So Armstrong, Van Ginkle, definitely some guys that could be values here. And actually, the next guy on the list, probably not somebody that you know, is got a low ADP by any means, but still gets a very exciting landing spot. Josh, who was your pick here at the edge position?
Yeah, let's double down in H-Town and go with Danielle Hunter signing with the Texans, 2 years, $49 million. I think it's up to 51 or 52 million. So basically 25 per year. I absolutely love what Houston is building. I kind of referenced it when I was talking about Azeez Al-Shaair, that this is the kind of splash you want to make. As much as we wanted them to bring back Jonathan Greenard, keep that homegrown talent in the building, it's a massive upgrade going from Greenard to Danielle Hunter. We talk about grown-ass man strength on our show a lot, John, as you know. And I think Danielle Hunter is starting to exemplify that. A guy who got, fair or unfair, got knocked a little bit for his injury history earlier in his career, but the past two seasons has played a full complement of games. And this season, we saw him go bananas and finish as the DL4 by Big Three scoring. So regression, 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 right? But at the same time, I think what will help stabilize his floor a little bit is getting a nice bag, landing on a team with plenty of opportunity to be had opposite a great up-and-coming phenom in Will Anderson, coached by a brilliant defensive mind in D'Amico Ryans. Adam always says the juice is in the building with some of these teams, and you can tell the juice is in Houston right now. So I think Danielle Hunter is going to be fired up. And is he a value going as the DL8? Even a few spots down from where he finished? Probably not. But I don't think he's going to bust and be like outside the top, I don't know, 12, 15. But in terms of landing spot, I mean, this was one of my favorite just because it's like plugging one of the best defensive linemen onto one of the up and coming defenses. I hate it as a Colts fan, but as a guy who just loves watching these kind of brilliant defensive units, like, you know, we've seen with the Ravens and the 49ers, I think Houston is that next up and coming defense. I think they're building a monster down there.
Yeah, it's such a fun landing spot. Like you said, it's not going to move the needle for him too much for IDP purposes, because we already know kind of what we're getting from Danielle Hunter, right? Like, there's not many like tackle machines and sack machines both at the edge position. And Danielle Hunter's been one of them. The only real concern for him before was the injury, right? It was like that neck or spine injury thing that he was dealing with. And he came back from that and looked like the same player again. So there's no real concerns here. And yeah, I'm with you. I love the landing spot. I love him playing next to Will Anderson as well. And you know, after you put this as one of your picks here, I was kind of digging a little bit to see how much it could this potentially help Will Anderson as well. And looking at it, I pulled the top pressure leaders at the edge position. So most pressures at the edge position that led to sacks for their teammates since 2022.
I love this.
The leader in that regard is Danielle Hunter with 17.
That's right.
So he's, again, like Will Anderson, another player, like you said, on the rise, right? He's another one that played better than what his sack totals probably said last year. There's room for a positive regression from him specifically, right? And then playing across from Danielle Hunter just increases that opportunity, I think, for him. I think there's going to be enough for both of those guys to eat. And yeah, I'm very excited about this landing spot. This is a very exciting edge duo here for IDP and for the NFL.
Yeah, Addy, I know you hate losing him from Minnesota, but you got some nice replacements in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about, we talked about this on our show this week, John, but what do you think? Would you rather have Danielle Hunter, or do you like the combo of having Gernard and Van Ginkel? Because the money was similar. I think there's like $4 million difference in money.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, I think for Minnesota specifically, they needed two guys, right? They couldn't just rely on one. So I think it makes sense for them to, you know, do the two for one kind of thing, get two very capable guys, not have to rely on somebody like a DJ Wonnum specifically, even though, you know, he was productive, but he's not like an every play disruptor or anything like that, right? So you get a couple guys that have that are a lot better pass rushers, that makes a bigger difference there. So I think it makes sense for what they did, for sure.
Okay, also another follow-up question to that.
Okay,
is Hunter Anderson, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, is that the best edge duo in the NFL now?
It's a good question.
I think the candidates are probably someone like Kayvon and Burns.
Yep,
right.
Watt and Highsmith.
Mm-hmm. Mack and Bosa.
Yeah, yeah, they both restructured. Staying in LA. And then you also have, you could throw Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith in there if you wanted.
Sure.
Those are the contenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be close. Like, I think they're a close second. I'd still probably say Watt and Highsmith. And that's not just to, you know, soothe the crying Steelers fans who think that PFF hates the Steelers. But
John hates himself right now for saying that.
Yeah, I know. I wish I but yeah, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, I think that's just because of what Alex Highsmith has turned into as well. Like, he was elite last year as well. Again, another guy that didn't necessarily have the sack numbers. And I think Will Anderson developing still probably just keeps them in second, but I think that he can get there. So it's close, but I think I'd go Watt, Highsmith one, and then Hunter and Anderson two.
I think I'd probably have them one. I think I'd have the Houston duo one.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably have, I'm talking for NFL and for IDP. I'd probably have Burns and Kayvon two, and then Watt and Highsmith three. But it's, I mean, okay. I want them all. They're all great. Flip a coin. I wouldn't blame, I wouldn't fault anyone who's got another team higher. I
actually ran the poll on Twitter, boys.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Big poll lover.
What are the results?
That's right. 68% Hunter and Anderson.
Wow. That's a pretty big win there.
Yeah. Watt and Highsmith were next with 20%. Kayvon and Burns, 9%.
Okay.
Wow. So there you go, Steelers fans. Don't cry to me. Everybody else is doesn't believe in your team either. So.
That's right. Other was 3%. So.
Other was 3%.
Other, okay.
Other, I guess, Mac and Bosa and those guys. But, I do think it's really close. I guess I just have a hard time crowning Anderson already, but he did win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and Hunter, obviously, has been very good. So,
he's
I get it.
Boy.
I definitely get it.
Really, really good, man.
Yeah.
That's nice. All right, let's go on to our third picks here, and we'll start with mine. I went with the safety, so we got to give some loves to some of these defensive backs, and the one that I went with is probably another name that kind of flies under the radar a little bit, but one that I don't think should. It's Brandon Jones, who signed with the Denver Broncos. So Denver had Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. Those were their longtime starters there for forever. Those guys have been both released, and I think that is a good thing because it led them to very productive IDP contributors in both Brandon Jones and PJ Locke, who I also really liked coming in here and potentially being the starter for this year as well. But Jones specifically, you know, he's had starting opportunities with the Miami Dolphins as well, though not always in a full-time role, but he also dealt with injuries during his time there. But over the past three seasons, whenever he's been on the field, he has consistently delivered strong tackle production as one of the most efficient tacklers at the position, which includes finishing in the top 90th percentile in tackles versus expected in 2021 and 2022. He hit the 78th percentile in 2023 on just 538 defensive snaps, and that was when he was filling in for injured players and playing mostly deep safety. So I don't know that Denver's going to necessarily have like a designated box or deep safety here in the system based on kind of what they did last year. But assuming both these players, Locke and Brandon Jones, split those duties, I think they're both going to be able to thrive for IDP purposes. But I've always kind of loved Brandon Jones. He's just every single time that he gets an opportunity, he's productive. He's just got to stay healthy. I think he's going to be another one of those guys that's a potential value in drafts. And I think he's going to over deliver on his expectations for next season as well, as long as he's continues to be in that starting spot, which right now, as of right now, it looks like he is. And obviously things can change and whatever, but right now, love the landing spot for Brandon Jones.
Yeah. 3 years, $20 million going as DB 91 right now.
Ooh.
So basically into your drafts, just take a dart. And now, like you said, a lot of these were done with ambiguity in mind, knowing he was a free agent. Now landing in Denver alongside PJ Locke. John, are you banking on just more opportunity for Jones in Denver?
Yeah, opportunity is going to be the main thing, right? Obviously, like I said, he's got to stay healthy. That's been one of his issues here, but I try not to knock players too much for that, unless like they're like significantly injury prone. But for Brandon Jones, like I think there's definitely room here. The contract is decent, right? I think it says that they expect him to be a contributor. So I think starting opportunity, you know, if you're starting in safety over there, it's going to be basically a 100% snap role alongside PJ Locke. And both those guys should get, I think, opportunities to play closer to the line of scrimmage as well. And that's where he's been really good as well and been productive. So pure opportunity and just liking him in the past and him delivering every time I've had to start him, sometimes getting hurt. But, you know, that's besides the point right now.
That's fantasy football. Yeah.
Yeah.
Addy, you've been, you talked about your strategy really going with DB heavy builds in these best balls. I feel like Brandon Jones will be one of your favorite targets now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, his ADP is definitely going to skyrocket. I mean, he's going to be, he'll be like a, in that safety 24 to safety 36 range, I bet. Mm-hmm. And he'll just continue to climb up, especially like as things clarify and come into focus and we see him sit atop that depth chart. But yeah, I mean, not a lot of competition there. No more Justin Simmons. It's just PJ Locke. And then, yeah, I mean, every time he gets a chance, he balls out. If you look through last season, weeks 12 through 15, he had a 7.25 point fantasy point game, 15.75 point game the next week, 30.25 game in week 15. And then actually he started in week 16 as well, and that was a 13.25 point game. So that's what he does anytime he gets a chance. Good tackler, and then has big play upside, you know, pretty regular with the sacks and TFL. So yeah, great option.
Yeah, I'm excited about him, right? And it's, again, like we talk about, you know, not spending up for safeties all the time as well. He's not going to necessarily be a guy that you're going to have to spend too much on to get. And I think he can be just as productive as a lot of the guys that are going to be going at the top of draft. So, yeah, love this spot for Brandon Jones. How about you, Josh? Who did you have as your third pick? I think you have another linebacker here.
I do. We're going back to Minnesota. We've talked about them quite a bit so far this episode, but we like what they're doing. And, you know, we love Ivan Pace Jr.,
yes.
But having Blake Cashman leave Houston, you know, we get Azeez Al-Shaair coming in. So Blake Cashman needs a new home, lands in Minnesota on a 3-year, $22.5 million deal. Now, this is not the cleanest landing spot because, like we mentioned, Ivan Pace is there. We love Ivan Pace. And I think this will be a true training camp battle to see who's going to potentially man the dot, who is going to be that LB1 in the Brian Flores defense. But my money would probably be on Cashman. I don't think you bring in Blake Cashman and give him the money that you gave him, basically about $7 million per year. That's pretty good guap for a linebacker. If you don't see that position as an issue. So even if it is just to compete with Ivan Pace, I think if there's a tie, it will probably go to Cashman as the new acquisition in the building. So Blake Cashman was pretty solid last year. I mean, the sixth graded linebacker at PFF. So the dude is legit good. And so I think if he wins this job, you're looking at, you know, I don't want to say top 12 LB, but you're looking at a guy with top 24 upside. Yeah, there are question marks. So again, not the cleanest landing spot, but someone I'm cautiously optimistic about and kind of rising on the more I think about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you look at the contract, like you said, bringing him in as the potential like Jordan Hicks replacement, right? And like you said, obviously I love Ivan Pace and his fit in the defense, but understanding that this wouldn't be the first time that an undrafted rookie gets replaced, right? No matter how wrong it may be. But look, Blake Cashman, he earned himself this payday this past season. He played really, really well. He delivered as far as the tackler goes. He delivered across the board in terms of PFF grades in that D'Amico Ryan system, which was one of the more zone-heavy teams in the league. And then we saw Brian Flores play a lot more zone last year than what he's been used to. He used to be one of the most man-heavy defenses in the league and then just switched that up last year and played a lot more zone. And Blake Cashman really kind of thrived in that type of defense. So I think it makes sense that he comes in here there's probably going to be some kind of battle a little bit in camp, but I like both guys here. And there's going to be room, I think, for Ivan Pace to fit as, you know, the kind of the blitzer and secondary linebacker there, because Flores still blitzed a ton, I think more than any team in the league. So there's going to be opportunity for Ivan Pace to still get productive, but I don't know that he's going to be an every down player. If I had to put money on it, I would go with Cashman as well to get the first crack at that job. But yeah, I mean, until he gets hurt again, right? Because he's another guy that has had injury issues. But as of right now, you kind of have to like what he's got here, and contract and opportunities is not bad.
Yeah, you Vikings fan Addy, like is this an upgrade going from Jordan Hicks to Blake Cashman?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's a world where, both Cashman and Pace can get a healthy amount of snaps. Like maybe both these guys get 80%+ of the snaps. You know, I mean, I think there's a good chance that we see Harrison Smith released here in the next little bit. And we know how much Flores utilized three safeties last year. Pretty much all three of those guys played above 95% of the snaps. Cam Bynum, Josh Metellus, and then Harrison Smith. So we eliminate one of those safeties. Maybe they maybe they move away from the three safety looks. Because I think it's, you know, it'd be like Lewis Seen as your third safety. He's been an absolute bust up to this point. So maybe personnel-wise, maybe you want to have just two safeties, two linebackers. And yeah, just switch things up a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely excited for Cashman, and optimistic about Pace, but, yeah, I mean, Cashman played at Minnesota, right? So, I mean, hometown kid gets to come home. It's a good story. And then, yeah, I know this is tough for you, Mac. I mean, these are two PFF darlings here. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm always gonna root for Ivan Pace. I love him, and I just can't believe that he went undrafted, and like to see him get that opportunity and perform well last year. So I'm not giving up on him by any means or anything like that. But you know, like I said, if I have to bet on who's gonna probably lead this group in snaps, I'd put my money on Cashman. But I don't want to bet on it. I don't have to bet on it. I can avoid this situation and try to take Ivan Pace late if he's available. But there'll be room. There'll be room for, I think, production for both these guys. But it'll be a fun defense for sure. They were a fun defense last year. They had a lot of my favorite guys. Josh Metellus was another one that I absolutely loved last year. So this will be good. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Cashman will be just fine.
Well, we have some breaking news, Macri. Josh just informed me that Harrison Smith has restructured, so Ivan Pace is indeed dead.
Oh, come on.
RIP. Well, like you said, if nothing else, Ivan Pace is an elite linebacker handcuff.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And I would be happy to draft both these guys in best ball because those ambiguous situations, like you said, you drafted all three of the Lions linebackers in a draft. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Especially in those kind of formats where you can't make, you know, additions after the fact, no waiver pickups or trades or anything. In managed leagues, you know, I'm happy to roster both of these guys as well and just see how it shakes out. But yeah, I think if it is Cashman, you know, and heck, even if it's Ivan Pace, I feel good about either outcome. I think I had questions about what kind of market Cashman would have, and he had a much more robust market than I anticipated. And that was someone who was optimistic about what his prospects would be. So the money to me, teams can lie all they want throughout the offseason, but they can't lie with their money. That's when they tell you what they see as a need on their team. So I think the money tells me this is going to be Blake Cashman's job unless he just can't cut the mustard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it makes perfect sense. And yeah, should be fun. But yeah, I'll still roster Ivan Pace here and there. And he at least should be a little bit cheaper now, too. So there's that part of it as well. All right, let's go on to the last player here that we have. Adam, one of your favorite picks here. You had one of our other safeties on the list and another Washington player.
Yes, Mr. Jeremy Chinn.
Back in on Chinn?
I guess we are.
Okay.
We're not going to be drafting him, though.
I'm scared.
We won't be drafting him because everyone loves Chinn. This is a guy that you can't kill this guy. He just continues to retain value. Everyone stays optimistic. And right now it looks like it's been a good idea to be optimistic because this is a really good landing spot with Jeremy Chinn landing in Washington. Should be no competition there, really. I mean, it's Derek Forrest. They brought back Jeremy Reeves, I saw, but he's like more of a special teams guy. And maybe they play Quan Martin there at safety, but I think the plan with him was to keep him at slot corner. But either way, that's not a scary safety room. It's very clear that Dan Quinn likes to have physical safeties that play fast, rush the passer, and aren't afraid to bang in the box or around the line of scrimmage. And that's Jeremy Chinn. If you look at his career usage, 2,951 career snaps, Chinn has played in the box 40% of the time. He has played on the line 8.3% of the time. He's played in the slot 29% of the time. That is 77% of his snaps coming in the box, in the slot, or on the defensive line, which is, we love those type of snaps and that type of usage. That's usually indicates a lot of tackles. Jeremy Chinn, also don't forget that this dude was a freak athlete, 10 RAS. So, I mean, there's upside in this guy. He's not really, he's kind of a throwback safety, right? One of these box bangers, not the best in coverage. Kind of like, a Jamal Adams type. But that's still useful. I mean, teams are getting back to running the football more. Jeremy Chinn can still be relevant, I think, in today's NFL. And, again, this is just a great spot, a great chance to restart his career. Would not be surprised if we see him have a top 12 finish this year, this season.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be potential here, right? Like you said, with Dan Quinn and Jeremy Chinn being kind of more that box type safety, right? I think that's perfect for Dan Quinn, because you look at his defense, even last year with the Cowboys, he played single high coverages at the second highest rate in the league, right? And you laid out the snaps, 77% of his snaps coming closer to the line of scrimmage. He's not a deep safety, right? So Derek Forrest definitely fits more of that deep safety mold. Chinn, that you'd expect to play toward the line of scrimmage again, support run defense, rush the passer on occasion, and that's just going to translate to better IDP production, right? So I know last year, start of the year, probably one of the most common questions that I got was, what the hell's going on with Jeremy Chinn, whether it was from IDP managers or Panthers fans. Nobody could understand why he wasn't getting the playing time. They clearly just hated him. It was time to move on. They played him a little bit more in the slot, right? Just wasn't the fit for him. I think he played less than 300 defensive snaps last year, and he was hurt as well, but they weren't starting him even when he was healthy. So this is another opportunity where a guy can come into a new defense, potentially be a better fit than, you know, where he was previously. And then that should translate to IDP production and a nice bounce back spot, like you said, for Jeremy Chinn to deliver here. And yeah, people love him so much that I'd imagine his IDP ADP is going to be higher than probably, John, what we're willing to pay, right?
But it's so high. It's DB 10. Really? It's DB 10 right now.
10 already?
10.
That's crazy after last year.
Has not corrected on Jeremy Chinn, and so that's the problem.
People were baking in that he was gonna land somewhere.
Yeah,
you and know, get an opportunity agent.
They just love this guy, man. Off,
I guess, but if he would have, I don't know.
There was a lot of places he could have went. I think it's, it's not great money. It is a chance to restart his career. I love Dan Quinn as kind of the signal caller, the architect of this defense. Like, I think it's a great opportunity. An interesting tweet I saw, John, I wanted to get your take on. Mo Moten of Bleacher Report said Dan Quinn has his version of J'Ron Curse in Washington. Jeremy Chinn is about to do numbers in that versatile role. If he is playing the J'Ron Curse role in the Washington version of Dan Quinn's defense, what do we think about that?
I like it. I mean, J'Ron Curse was a productive IDP in that defense because, again, he was the guy that played closer to the line of scrimmage. He got opportunity to rush the passer, but mostly just racked up tackles, right? And it wasn't necessarily a full-time role for him because they had three safeties there, but they don't have three safeties in Washington. Like you said, Quan Martin is probably going to be a slot. They brought in two very expensive starting linebackers in Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu. So they only need to start two safeties potentially here in this defense. And I think Chinn playing that box heavy role and closer to the line of scrimmage and in that J'Ron Curse type role makes sense. I think that's exactly what we're kind of hoping for from Chinn. So those people that banked on him as DB10, man, they got lucky. They hit here. I don't know that, he necessarily is going to give the exact return that they're looking for. I think he could still be very good, but man, that's a risky bet to make because he could have definitely landed a lot of places where that didn't work out. So this one definitely feels like one of the better spots for him for sure.
Yeah. Way, way too rich. The move was, hopefully you got him for like a fifth round pick, like last season when this guy was totally, crap in the bed for us. You said you're getting all these questions. What the hell's going on with Jeremy Chinn and playing, like you said, less than 300 snaps? It wasn't like this guy was relevant at all. Poor Aaron, who preps our docs, had to scroll all the way down in the fantasy finish that see that Jeremy Chin was DB 220 last year by big three scoring. So there's relevant, and then there's not even in the same galaxy as relevant. And that was Jeremy Chin last year. So hopefully you scooped him up at value, because I don't know that you're going to be able to capture any value on Jeremy Chin this offseason, which is a shame, because we would love to be able to do that with like a lot of these players. Like we've said consistently tonight, guys that were hurt, guys that disappointed, for whatever reason, that aren't good players, that just had a little bit of stink on them, and that created a little bit of headroom on their value for us to scoop up. That's just not available here. So I do love the landing spot, but probably not a guy that many of us are going to be able to roster this offseason, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. You could be excited about him. You could definitely expect a bounce back, a better year production-wise, IDP-wise, fantasy-wise, all of that stuff. But again, we don't have to pay up to draft safeties or anything like that. If he falls into that, you know, 20 to something, 20 to 30 range, sure, I'd be happy to take him there. But I don't necessarily know that he's going to make it that far. But could rank him that high. I just don't know that I'll be drafting him that high, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No chance. No chance he makes it that high.
No.
People love Chin, dude. They love they
do.
Some Chin.
They do.
What would you be willing to trade for Jeremy Chin? Would you trade a third?
Not a third. Too rich.
It would have to be like a late third. I'd probably need, like, if my safety were like, okay, so XFFL, for example, like a Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton, I'm not looking to add a safety, right?
Now you're just flexing.
There's rooms.
He's absolutely stunting on us right
safety
now.
Rooms like that, right? Where guys can feel pretty, it's easy to feel comfortable at your safety position, right? It's hard to feel like you're desperate for a safety. So I probably wouldn't give a third for Jeremy Chin, just because there's so many guys out there that can step out of nowhere and be productive. Look at Cam Bynum last year. Like, that was, I mean, nobody was expecting that. This was a guy that just every week was putting up insane tackle numbers. I don't know that it's repeatable, but there's going to be guys like that every year.
Okay. I have Jordan Whitehead and CeeDee Deuce. Should I trade for Jeremy Chin?
I think if you can give a fourth, right? Because look at the percentage, the hit rate percentage, the likelihood that that fourth rounder hits versus the likelihood that Jeremy Chin hits. I would probably take the Jeremy Chin side. It's more likely you're going to get more lifetime value from that player than a fourth round pick.
Yeah. The immediate return is there, I think, right? Yes. You're likely going to get a top 15 safety.
Because what if Jeremy Chin starts hot and then you can turn around and flip him
for a future third, a future second? That's the move right there. I just don't know that anyone's going to be selling for a fourth.
No,
people love some Chin.
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't think you can even trade for him right now at a price that makes it worth it.
But I think, I mean, you got a window to sell if you want to sell.
Yes.
I think you could sell him for, I think you could get a third for him.
I think you could. Yeah.
Somebody will pay it. Somebody will pay a third. But yeah, it's going to be hard to buy low at this point. Like, fourth probably is not going to get it done. But that would be the price that I would pay and be happy to pay for Chin. But I just don't know that anybody's going to sell at that point. So it's tricky. It's definitely tricky, but you never know. There's plenty of guys out there willing to make trades to make us happy. So you never know. But yeah, that is pretty much going to do it. I think we got our nine players again. More just keep coming in. I think Marquise Brown signed with the Chiefs while we were talking. So
yeah,
it's just
Keenan Allen got traded to the Bears.
What?
Yeah, Keenan Allen just got traded to Chicago.
Whoa,
yeah.
I didn't see that one. Okay. Yeah.
I've been showing Adam my phone like notes while these trades are going down. I'm like, oh my God, John's going to be busy after we get off here.
Oh God. Yeah, I didn't. I only saw the Marquise Brown one. I did not know the Keenan Allen. I mean, the Chargers, they got to be hoping for Marvin Harrison Jr. at this point. Like,
yes.
That's the dream spot, I think, for, I think he's got to get past the Patriots and the
Cardinals,
but yeah, that would be the ideal spot there for sure. Man, that's crazy.
They go there, you know.
Yeah, if neighbors there, that's a nice consolation prize. Because I don't think Marv's making it past four.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it goes QB, 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 which it could. Right. You know, I don't think that's ever happened, but
yeah, that's how they project it every year, but it never happens that way.
Yeah, but neighbors would be damn good there. So Man, wow. Exciting times. Very exciting time here in the offseason for offense and for IDP. So don't forget to play IDP. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast this deep into the episode, you're definitely playing IDP unless you just here for our faces, which I feel sorry for you. But that is going to do it for our favorite IDP free agent landing spots so far. There were obviously a lot that we could have covered, but that episode would probably come in around 3 hours or over that. So Adam, Bobby, Josh broke them all down on the IDP show podcast this week as well. I wrote up my winners and losers for IDP, which will come out on pff.com on Friday as well. I've been tweeting some of my thoughts on the bigger signings as well. You could check those out as well. But Josh, Adam, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on, talking free agent IDPs for the second time this week that you guys have been potting. So I appreciate the grind. I appreciate the hustle and helping me break it all down. Thank you, guys.
Always a pleasure. And we'll have you back on next week, the IDP yes, show. We will be redrafting the 2023 rookies. And the three of us will be giving a kind of wave to a free agency recap. So the offseason is over, man. It is. We are full steam ahead. We like to say this is the hashtag on season. Yep. And love getting to do it with you, John. Thanks a lot for having us on, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. No, happy to have you. Really do appreciate it. It's always a pleasure. Always fun to talk with you. But before you guys go, please remind everybody where they could find more of you and all your work over on the IDP show.
Yeah, Addy, you can find us pretty much every week breaking down IDP on the IDP show. Follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/@theIDP show. We recently added a whole slew of new writers to our website, including industry legend Mike Wollert, who has been doing fantastic work over there on the site. So make sure you're subscribed, theidpshow.com. We've got some awesome rankings from Adam and company over there for paid supporters. So we've been going all off season, no rest for the wicked. And Addy, you're about as wicked as they come.
Yeah, that's what I hear. We're inspired by you, Macri. We just want to be more like you, baby.
That's right.
You're the best in the biz. We're truly honored to be here. So thanks for having us, man.
No, I appreciate you guys. And obviously I'm very blessed and happy to get to talk IDP with you guys. I appreciate all the work that you do. I think it's amazing stuff over on the IDP show as well. And from what I hear, Adam is the number one dynasty ranker on the IDPshow.com.
That's a fact.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. Yeah. It's debatable in my opinion, but that's the current standings right now.
And also we need to make sure that everyone understands Macri should be the best because this is his full-time job.
Yes, that is correct.
I don't have any excuses. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm chained to my desk looking at football all day. So, yeah, I hope to do a good job. But, yeah, the best is debatable. But
You're doing real good.
We're proud of you, hon.
Appreciate it, guys. But yeah, again, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Josh and Adam for coming on here talking IDP with me. There is going to be a lot more IDP content coming up as we get closer to the NFL draft as well. So stay tuned to the PFF podcast and we'll break all that stuff down. But yeah, we're going to start breaking down the IDP rookies as well. So stay tuned for that. And until next time, peace out.